from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Road Show.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are so glad you've tuned in with us.
Yes, we are.
We are.
We are. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to join in the conversation. Log on to facebook.com/themusicrowshow to chat alongside with us. And
yeah, don't forget Twitter. You can also hit us up on Twitter at The Music Row Show.
And you know what, Hino?
What?
You know, we've been on TV now for 3 years.
Yes.
But never have we been available in Tennessee.
But that changes this week. Actually, it already did.
It changed this week.
That's right. We are now, Blue Highways is now available on Dish, Dish Channel 73, so you can go check us out. We're on four times a week right now.
That's right. On twice on Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday.
Yeah.
Twice on Tuesday, once on Friday. But how exciting is that?
I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Hard to contain it.
So now that we've got that out of the way, contain it, Scott. Contain it long enough to tell us who these wonderful guys are sitting here with us.
In a world... where one burrito.
No, if there was an epicenter, that was my movie guy voice.
That
what did you
pretty
think?
Good. That
in
was,
a world
I
where
know
one
what happens
burrito,
to the burrito
stands alone. If there was an epicenter, no, if there was an epicenter of what became the LA country rock scene, if one could point
yeah.
to where something suddenly new was happening at the Whiskey A Go-Go,
yeah.
chances are.
Yeah.
There was a burrito involved.
That's true. In many respects.
The yeah. Flying Burrito Brothers were the brainchild of Chris Hillman and Graham Parsons, both of the Byrds. Chris, longtime member of the Byrds. Graham just kind of came in for a little bit. Yeah. And their debut album in 1969 is listed in Rolling Stone magazine's 100 best debut albums. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Did you? Well, this legendary band, it's crazy because they never really reached huge commercial superstardom, but they've been the home to some of alt country music's most influential icons and continue to keep the tradition alive through over 40 years and probably about as many roster changes.
Oh, easy.
48.
Something like that. But somewhere, I think it's safe to say that somewhere on any given night, there's a burrito flying on stage somewhere with that many people in and out of the band.
Yeah.
There's a burrito somewhere flying on stage. Yeah. And tonight we're proud to have a couple of them with us. It's a pleasure to say two members of the current version of the Burrito Brothers. We're happy you're here.
Well, thank you.
Welcome to the Music Row Show.
And really
glad
we got?
To be here.
We got Chris James, right?
Yes.
And we got Tony
Paola.
Which is illegal in radio, by the way.
Paoletta.
Oh, Paoletta. Yeah. Oh, come
good.
On, Scott.
Good, good.
Contain yourself. Well, awesome. Thanks so much, you guys, for coming in.
Thank you for having us. Yeah,
we didn't do the applause. Hold on a minute.
Okay, here we go.
Welcome to the Music Row Show.
Yay! There we go. Much better.
That was close, wasn't it?
Wow, that was smooth.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, as Scott was saying, a lot of people have been in this band over the years. I actually counted them up today. According to Wikipedia, 48 different people have been in this band. Well, that's a lot of people.
Wow.
So, but you guys have been with the group for a long time. So how did you come to be in the burrito family?
5 years. Well, I've was into all that music as far back as I can remember.
Yeah.
And when I first came to Nashville in 1980... somewhere a couple of years later than that, there was a guy here in town named Argyle Bell, who's deceased now, who put on these tributes to Graham Parsons. And at that time, people didn't know who Graham Parsons was, really. And he would ask anybody who was trying to get on board the tribute if they could name 5 songs by Graham Parsons. And I told him, I know all of them. And got on board as the... keyboard player and harmony singer in the stage band, which led to meeting all these people he would get who knew Graham or played with Graham, Graham's ex-wife and daughter. And I got a job with Bobby Bear soon after that. And John Beeland, who was one of the mainstays of the Flying Burrito Brothers in the 80s, was in that band with Bobby Bear. And I just kind of got around that camp and ended up knowing them, playing tribute after tribute, and their different CDs would come out. There was one called The Notebook Project about 10 or 12 years ago, mm-hmm. where they made new music out of leftovers of Grahams and got people who were known for working with Graham or the Burrito Brothers. And finally, in the year 2000, I had subbed or guested or been around them enough that it finally came my turn to enter when, you know, people would leave and there's who's next in line. And the,
like at the deli, now serving.
There's no group I know of with more of that as an established precedent.
Wow.
You know, I mean, they, in fact, it's funny when they say, I was wondering when you said you know of 48 members.
Yeah.
Because, I thought there were more.
Yeah. The, well, it might not name some of us. Does it name you and me?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
But.
Does it name Barry Tashin?
It started with Barry Tashin and Ian Dunlop. I've got this little sound bite that's a minute long that we might play later.
Okay.
Graham, in an interview, is talking about how it started. And they would play with Leon Russell and Delaney Bramlett. And like in 1967 and 8 in L.A., the Palomino or wherever, open mic places and stuff. And in those days of hippie funny names like Jefferson Airplane and Iron Butterfly, and all, I think that's what the Flying Burrito Brothers was, just a silly tag for a loose collection of people. And it was invented, if you could call it that, by Ian Dunlop, who mm-hmm. was also in the International Submarine Band.
Right.
Okay.
And, which Graham was also a member of in New York,
group.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he and Barry Tashin from The Remains would call this whoever they played with that night the Flying Burrito Brothers. And so then when a year or so later, after getting the deal with A&M Records, Chris Hillman and Graham Parsons stole the name, so they're actually not even the originals.
My gosh.
And then it's had somebody in it, you know, some promoter, some record label, somebody connected to it previously has been asked to rebuild it, you know, year after year after year. There's always been somebody doing it. And,
well,
and
that'd be one crowded stage if you had a full-on
if you
reunion.
Got them all. Except that so many of them are deceased.
Yeah,
that's true.
The Palace of Sin only has one living guy,
Chris Hillman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But every version of the group has been, you know, reconstituted from guys who were in it previously, and then who's the best guys we can get now since these two guys left, so to speak.
Right.
Sure.
Anybody who has kids knows that song, This Is the Song That Never Ends.
Yeah. Yep.
This is the band that never ends. It just keeps going and going.
100 years from now, they're going to be sitting around talking to the current incarnation of the Burrito Brothers.
Yeah, it seems worth carrying on to me. I take a lot of strength in the fact that there's a quote, in fact, it's in this soundbite, of Graham Parsons saying, when asked... He actually lived long enough. It happened so quickly that the Burrito Brothers had changed hands that before Graham Parsons died in 1973, there was a Flying Burrito Brothers that did not have one single original member in it. It was headed up by Rick Roberts. And they asked Graham what he thought of it. And he gave the answer that's gold to me, where he said, I'm all for it. The idea should continue whether I'm in it or anybody else. And that's how we
and it did
right
and it does
yeah and it does yeah
Well, let's have a little history lesson, a little more on the Flying Burrito Brothers for those listeners who maybe are learning about this now, and I recommend anybody look it up and look them up on YouTube. But how did the country music community react to this band when they started out in the 60s?
Not good.
Come on up to that mic there so we can hear you. Yeah.
Well,
not good at all.
Not good. And it's strange, too, because they tried so hard. They were on Columbia Records, and they came to Nashville. And there was a recent move to recording in Nashville. Dylan had done Blonde on Blonde.
Right,
and,
sure.
I think there's other examples.
Neil Young. Well, that was later.
That was later.
Yeah.
But They liked, there was a, you know, the Area 615 players, those guys, yeah. They were some pretty hip, younger, cool players that could really get a good track just like that. And
right.
It was appealing to those people with those sensibilities in California. And they weren't trying to ruffle anybody's feathers. They cut their hair. Grant Parsons looks like a Harvard kid or so. He's wearing a sweater.
Mm-hmm.
And he has short hair when they went to the Grand Ole Opry. So they were trying to cater to that audience and not seem like druggy.
And to show respect. And,
yeah. And yet they get regarded as filthy rock and roll long hair hippies, you know. Ralph Emery famously gave him a hard time.
Tell us about that.
Well, they wrote the song Drugstore Truck Driving Man. Roger McGuinn and Chris Hillman.
Okay.
I mean, Graham Parsons and Roger McGuinn. And the Drugstore Truck Driving Man, which is a strange description. I guess it means a guy who's hawking stuff. Was supposed to be Ralph, that he treated him badly, and I guess they had an interview. I don't know the details real well. It probably could be looked up YouTube or Wikipedia or something.
Mm-hmm.
But just snubbed him and acted like they were, you know,
dirt under his shoe or something. Huh?
Usurpers, what do you guys think you're doing here? You, yeah.
This is Nashville, darn
you know
it.
Another irony of it is that music to listen to now, it sounds like traditional, old school,
absolutely
rural country. There's no rock
to today's music.
Yeah,
yeah.
The only thing rock about it was that they were trying to market it to the rock audience because the group had a prior rock history.
Rock pedigree. Yeah. Well, speaking of that, then how did the rock side of the aisle? Well,
that didn't work too well either. they missed on both counts, and then
they sure did.
And
yeah.
Then in the end. Get regarded, isn't it on that 100 greatest albums?
Yeah.
Or something?
Oh, yeah.
In the end, they get regarded as being innovative as they could possibly be.
Well, sure, the inspiration for the Eagles and,
yeah. Sure,
and
Bernie
Desert
Ledden,
Rose.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
But at the time, boy, it didn't make the charts. It didn't sell. It was the Byrds' weakest selling album.
Huh.
I read a little snippet from some gal who was talking about Graham and saying how, you know, sometimes when they'd be playing at the Whiskey a Go-Go, it might just be her and her friend there.
Oh,
I mean, they
right.
just...
That's Pamela, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pamela. That yeah. Just saying that sometimes it was just us there.
Yeah.
And here they're so highly regarded now.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? So we have a chance, Hino.
We do, because there's
highly
quite often there's only two people around when we play. Yeah.
And one of them's Pamela.
And one of them, well, she gets around.
So, we've got the same thing.
Yeah.
We get this struggle. We get some of this that's confusing to me in light of what we've just outlined. You know, how can you guys call yourself the burrito? But you're Johnny Come Latelys. You're not the real. And it's like, well, whoever was.
Right.
It was maybe for two albums, Graham Parsons and Chris Hillman. But, I mean, the group went on and on and on and has had many highs and lows.
It's like a sports team.
Yeah.
There's nobody on any sports team that was on it 20 years ago. You know?
How can you call yourself the Chicago Bulls? You're not
Scottie
Pippen.
Not all you guys
Pippen
are the original Bulls.
No, Michael Jordan. I've got an idea we're going to implement to kind of battle that some of that mentality. Barry Tashin is, I don't know if I can call him a close friend, but he's a good acquaintance, and we've recorded together, and Ian Dunlop as well. In fact, my brother Fred, who unfortunately isn't here right now, he's in the group.
Mm-hmm.
That's him.
Yep, yep.
Has done much more work with Ian, and we were together in a reunion of the International Submarine Band in the early 90s. An album came out on a label over in Europe, and we're going to get Barry and Ian involved in our next album. And so you've got the guys who were there even before Graham Parsons and Chris Hillman. And
that's
that,
awesome.
That'll sort of help some of the credibility or whatever you want
sure.
to call it, you know.
And Tony, you were a protege of Sneaky Pete, who was...
Huge fan of his.
Yeah, so we're going to take a break. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to listen to some Burrito Brothers music.
Absolutely.
And this segment, by the way, is brought to you by our very good friends at Toyota of Cool Springs.
That is so true. Scott and I are both Toyota drivers. We drive them proudly, and we actually love that dealership. They, whether it's service or sales or whatever, I mean, they're just a great bunch of folks to deal with. They don't jump on you when you walk onto the the dealership lot, which is great. It's a very relaxed atmosphere.
Absolutely. Go see George. He's the owner. He's going to take good care of you. Mention if you mention us, because you know we have a lot of pull there.
Yeah.
come on, man. Anyways, go to toyotaofcoolsprings.com, and we appreciate you doing that for us.
That's the website. Now, we're going to be back in just a few minutes with the guys from the Burrito Brothers here on the Music Row Show. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with the guys from Burrito Brothers, the Burrito Brothers, and that's a great Burritos Brother tune called Beggar's Banquet.
A famous one.
A famous one, yeah.
And they're going to do an acoustic version of it right
never,
now.
Never before okay. heard an right. acoustic well,
I
version.
I think, or did you change your mind?
We might as well.
Yeah. Might as well, okay. Yeah. I mean, unless you know ready? Some Stones or something. I mean,
you ready? Sure.
At the beggar's banquet, at this table gathered round, we've got nothing, but we're thankful, 'cause having nothing can't let you down. Take a seat at the beggar's banquet. Have some weed, pass it around. But count your fingers, some of us are scoundrels. For the moment, all friends, and the years keep on turning on this life of yours and mine. We don't dine at the richest table. Yeah, but this beggar's banquet is just fine. All right, Tony. Keep on turning
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Well, let's, if we can, Chris, you've been involved in Graham Parsons projects for quite a while. And you said that when they kind of tested you, you knew all of them, not just five of the songs. What drew you to him initially?
Well, gosh, maybe the easiest answer. I'm originally from Kansas, from Wichita, Kansas, and that pocket there. I'm 60 right now, and so in the 70s was. You know, right around 70 was my most formative years. And actually, Fred's a little older, and my father's a musician. We got into music from a really young age. Mm-hmm. And so I had that Sweetheart of the Rodeo. I had Byrds albums before that at age 10, 11, and 12. And in Kansas, it was sort of the place for country rock more than, you know, like more metropolitan areas. Loved Led Zeppelin and
sure.
European Pink Floyd and stuff, but we seemed to like these rustic groups like New Grass Revival and Pure Prairie League and Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Those were our favorite. When the Eagles came out, they were sort of the biggest one of all, but
right.
It was that stuff. And so it just was what I kind of was raised and somehow gravitated to, maybe based somewhat on region. And then later, I just really identified with Graham Parsons. I think a lot of people don't realize that his first and foremost instrument was piano. He would do like I just did, be able to strum a guitar because it's a nice way to sing a song. But as far as actually playing licks or a solo or any sort of further instrumentation, he's far more capable on piano. He got into the Byrds. Because he played piano. McGuinn claimed he was looking for a keyboard player in order to not exactly replace David Crosby, but kind of go a new direction. And he had a nice style. It's not a real technician style like, you know, Keith Emerson or Rick Wakeman or somebody. It's just a real smooth, nice, comfortable flow. And I've always related that. I'm a piano player and a singer who likes to strum some guitar felt a real connection that the style and the sensibilities he had are the same I wish to pursue and feel that are somewhere in me.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kept going. It was just like I liked what those songs sounded like to sing and how inviting they were to harmonies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
That the Beggar's Banquet, it's hard to not want to sing harmonies to that song.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of know it just has it's one of those that's just easy. You feel like you want to just jump on in. I know I was holding Hino back.
I was thinking that about you.
He was thinking that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just because there were some, you know, very well-known people that have come in and out of the group over the years. What's it been like not only for you guys, but for other guys coming in and trying to fill some famous people's shoes along the way? I mean, has that been difficult either for you or for any of the other guys along the way?
It is difficult to fill Sneaky Pete's shoes, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was kind of your mentor, wasn't he?
Yes, he's great.
Tell us about that.
He just this innovative player that, you know, he played with the Burritos. He played on Jackson Brown stuff. He played on Joe Cocker stuff.
Yeah.
John Lennon.
Did he?
Yeah. John Lennon.
Sorry, John Lennon stuff.
Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing.
You knew him pretty well, didn't you?
I didn't know him real well, but I knew him. Oh, yeah.
Well, you probably should mention probably the biggest person you've gotten to play with over the years, and that would be
you.
Me. We just discovered this as we were coming in this morning. Just now, he says, "Hey, are you?" And I said,
"Your name." And that's not a name you forget.
I haven't seen Tony in probably like, I don't know, what, 13 years
Tony,
or something? Tony,
claiming this as a career killer. Do you realize this? Do you realize what you're doing?
I'm good at that.
Oh, that's so funny that we run into each other again all these years. So
I'd have to say we had my brother Fred and I on getting asked to yet again reconstitute another Burritos. Fred was asked in 2000. By this label in England, if he had heard, you know, they knew that had gone a little bit dormant again. That the group that was called Burrito Deluxe had been the previous decade,
right,
from through the 2000s, and they'd folded up shop. And this guy said, "Well, we think it's a worthy." He called it a brand name, and that we really want a Burrito Brothers album. And Fred mentioned that I was familiar with a lot of those people, and the guy liked that idea, and I got accepted into it. And we actually try to think of what the word for it is. I don't want to say cocky or arrogant. But there was an attitude we had a little bit of. We kind of thought maybe we could right the ship a little. It seemed like it had gotten off track a little. And I remember saying to Sam that I'm not claiming I'm so wonderful and brilliant that I might not have made some of the same mistakes. It's timing. It's like in the 80s, our sense was, I liked them a little less because it sounded to me like they were trying too hard to be mainstream. They had moved to Nashville and they were chasing Nashville hits, and they didn't sound like that hippie Bakersfield style Graham Parsons, Chris Hillman group. And I probably would have made the same mistake. Big Shot saying, you know, let's get some hits and all this. But now the time has come to look at it differently. It's a full circle. And we incorporate more than any version of the band had in the previous three decades. Some of the best of every one of those lineups. There's songs in our show from all through the years. We're not just ate up only with Graham Parsons. There was some real nice work with Rick Roberts, who went on to Firefall. There's some really nice work with Joel Scott Hill and Gib Gilboa and Gene Parsons and those guys. There's a lot of good stuff over the years. And then our new material, like Beggar's Banquet, was designed, that's a funny word to use, but intended to be in keeping with the original vision, not some sort of modernized thing.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. When you're writing new Burrito Brothers material, are you purposely trying to make it, are you writing a song and saying, ooh, okay, this could be for the Burrito Brothers project because it has that feel, or is it, maybe this one is to pitch to someone else? Or are you guys consciously saying, let's write Burrito Brothers music today?
Well, I think we kind of automatically write it for the group when group members are writing together. I mean, that's the mindset of why we're together writing. And you'll even, I love the Bob Dylan album called Love and Theft that he explained is what all great music is. There's a little bit of theft. Anybody who claims there's not there, I'm totally original. I've come up with all these notes and all these chords myself. That's preposterous.
Right.
And so you love it and you draw from the things you loved the most and you make sure you don't just plagiarize.
Right.
But you incorporate and so when we get together as, you know, some of the guys in the band, we figure we're writing for our next
There's
album.
There's a burrito state of mind.
Yeah.
There's the title for the next one.
I'm in a burrito state of mind.
All right, listen, we got to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with some more of Burrito State of Mind with the Burrito Brothers here on the Music Row Show. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with the Burrito Brothers. That's a great tune of theirs. What's the name of that tune?
That's Christina's song.
Christine's tune, but they also call it, put in parentheses, Devil in Disguise, and really preferred to call it that later because they were pretty vindictive in naming a name. She's a devil, and she does all this horrible stuff. And then
named
girl,
her.
She's one, like you mentioned, Pamela, being in the audience. She's one of the GTOs, that group that Frank Zappa had of girls. They all kind of hung out in the same crowd. And she, I don't remember what caused it, but she died not long after. Just a matter of 3 to 5 years, she was deceased.
Oh, no.
So they felt horrible about, you know, we've got this,
singing this song about her, yeah,
ragging on poor Christine, who's now gone, prefer to call it Devil in Disguise. And
sure.
Wow. Great song, though. It's the opening tune of the most classic Flying Burrito Brothers, The Gilded Palace of Sin.
Wow.
And we use it to open because it's obvious. I think every lineup always has. It's right. Just killer start.
Yeah. Oh, man. I didn't know that.
I'm a little sad right now.
I know.
Christine's tune.
Yeah.
You mind playing us another song, getting us out of this funk?
Yeah. Any song but that one,
and
if you don't mind.
Another.
If you don't mind.
Well, he's got him a house on a hill. Plays country music till you've had your fill. He's a fireman's friend. He's an all-night DJ. But he sure don't think much of the records he plays. He's a drugstore truck driving man. He's ahead of the Ku Klux Klan. When summer rolls around, he'll be lucky if he's not in town. Well, he don't like the young folks I know. He told me one night on his radio show, he's got him a medal he won in the war. It weighs 500 pounds and it sleeps on his floor. He's just a drugstore truck driving. Head of the Ku Klux Klan. When summer rolls around, he'll be lucky if he's not in town. Summer rolls around.
lucky if he's not in town. Yeah, when summer rolls around, he'll be lucky if he's not in town.
So what have we learned, Hino?
I'm not sure. What have we learned, Scott?
We have learned that you don't want to make a burrito brother mad because they write songs about you.
Yeah.
Be not you Christine sure, yeah. or be you someone else yeah. that we've mentioned earlier
that
in the show.
Stupid Hino.
And Scott. all right. We're here with Chris James and Tony Paoletta of the new Burrito Brothers and their album. Would you hand me that real quick? Let's do this. Their new album is the latest album is called Sound as Ever. I'm going to put that up there.
Wow.
And where can people find this?
Well, Amazon is probably the best place.
I've heard of that.
Or when we perform.
Right.
Your website, I'm assuming.
Yeah, website.
And the website is?
It's the burrito, www.theburritobrothers.net.
Right.
Right.
And we're
make
also
sure you
on
put
Facebook
the in there.
As the Burrito Brothers Online.
Gotcha.
All right.
And that's where's the best place to find out where you're playing? Is the website staying on
Facebook's
it?
Facebook's probably a little more.
Okay.
It's easier because stuff has to go to the web guy. Facebook, I can just put on like that.
There you go.
Sure.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, good stuff. We're going to be back with more of the Burrito Brothers. You're listening to the Music Row Show. Stick around.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with the Burrito Brothers, and that's For the Sake of Love.
Off of their latest album called Sound as Ever.
Sound as Ever. And look at that. You're wearing the same jacket tonight as you wore on the cover of this album. Wow.
Different shirt, though, which
that's
is
like,
good.
That's like a history-making shirt right there.
We're here with Chris James and Tony Paoletta of the Burrito Brothers. You can find them at burritobrothers.net or the Burrito Brothers online on Facebook.
You are good.
And you have other members in this band, of course. Yes. Rick, is it Lonow?
Yeah, Lonow.
Yeah. Lonow. Fred James, or is that Yamez? James. Okay.
Yeah.
And and then Rusty Russell. Yes. And I have to ask regarding Rusty, when you're describing him on your website, you say that he's there for emergency vocals.
He came up with that.
What is an emergency vocal?
That's his sense of humor. He doesn't really sing much in the band.
Yeah.
But I think what he means by that is, in a pinch, he'll jump in too.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know. Maybe that means if one of us has laryngitis.
Right. He'll just, and he knows all your parts.
Let's hope it doesn't happen.
Right.
Because then it really would be an emergency, right? Yeah. So I understand, Chris, that you are like the ultimate in music trivia. Is this true?
Oh, gosh. Well, I can't say yes to that. That's, how do you answer that? But I'm really into it. I love it. And I tend to think that I'm pretty good at knowing what I know.
And if I'm pretty good at knowing what I know too.
If I don't, I'll admit it. But you know, like people say, you know, did you know John David Souther was in Shiloh? And I'd say, no, John David Souther wasn't in Shiloh, you know,
okay.
or something like that. You know,
people come up to you all the time and
Don Henley and Mike Bowden.
Mike Bowden.
Bruce.
No.
No.
What's his name? Pinkard and Bowden guy.
Yeah, isn't that Mike?
I was just wondering if people come up to you all the time and try to
stump
you with questions like.
Bass player with Linda Ronstadt for a while.
Is his mic on? Okay.
Let's get. You need to get right on in there,
all
Mike.
Right. There you are.
There, Tony.
I'm sure, it's not Bruce.
Tony, it's nice to hear from you. Sorry you monopolized the entire conversation this hour.
One of the
Hold
brothers.
It down, man.
Jeez.
And Jim Ed Norman?
Jim Ed Norman.
All right, look, let's have a definitive end to this and then move on to another debate that has raged on between music geeks for decades. Who wrote Wild Horses? Was it Mick and Keith, or was it Graham Parsons? Go.
Ooh.
Well, I'd like to answer that in two parts. I
say Mick
that
and
it
Keith.
Was Mick and Keith. I
think
that the controversy came up because it actually came out by the Burrito Brothers first.
Right.
Graham was great friends with Keith and hung out together, and they gave it to him. Unfortunately, they also said you can't release it as a single, which is a shame because it could have been a hit for the Burrito Brothers.
Sure.
But that controversy can be taken a step further. I actually do believe that Graham Parsons' name should be put on Honky Tonk Woman. Because, I mean, think about it. It's right then when they were hanging out together, and it's that change in direction that mostly was led by Keith and the Stones. Honky Tonk, there's songs that Graham sang about Honky Tonk Women, and then the clincher for me, the best evidence, if it was a court case and I wanted to present the case for Graham, is that the Burrito Brothers did a version of Honky Tonk Women approximately, like, right around the same time the Stones did. It was 1969. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's an inferior recording. It really was kind of just slapped out there. But Graham sings an alternate set of lyrics. Mm-hmm. And Graham was one of these people who, there's no other example of him ever doing that. He knew the country standards and sang them. He sings even things like To Love Somebody and sings the word. There's no other example of him singing
alternate lyrics.
Where did he come up with these? They're his. And so hanging out with Keith, all that comes together and thinking, you know, that probably should have Graham's. I'm not saying he wrote it. I'm saying it should say Jagger, Richards, Parsons.
Hmm.
Well, we'll take that under advisement. And
that's right. I'm out of order.
Court is adjourned.
You're out of order. We're all out of order.
My name's not on it.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. TheBurritoBrothers.net. Go check that out. Yeah. Find them on Facebook at Burrito Brothers Online. And then go visit themusicrowshow.com and check out what we got going on. Go watch us on Blue Highways TV, Channel 73 on Dish.
Dish.
Dish Network. And then we will see you next week on The Music Row Show.
Thank you so much.